Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
Absolutely. Well, today's Pentecost Sunday, and on this day, we celebrate the birth of the church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let me read from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1 today. It says this: "When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them." And look at this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Notice that this verse tells us that some things occurred on the day of Pentecost. There were some things that occurred. It said, when the day of Pentecost had come. This means that Pentecost was not something that happened for the very first time in Acts chapter 2. Can I tell you that? Sometimes we get afraid. What is Pentecost? What does Pentecost mean? What is Pentecost? And depending on your background or what you've heard growing up or your experience, Pentecost can be a scary thing. Anybody find that? Feel that? You don't want to raise your hand. That's okay. Pentecost can be a scary thing. When we hear Pentecost, we begin to shake. In fact, there might be some people you're watching online because you were afraid of what might happen if in the church on Pentecost Sunday. I know. We laugh, but it's true. But I'm going to tell you something. Pentecost is not something that happened for the first time in Acts chapter 2. So today we're going to look at Pentecost then and Pentecost now. We're going to take a look at Pentecost in the Old Testament. And then we're going to take a look at Pentecost in the New Testament. And then we're going to ask ourselves the question, what does Pentecost mean for us today? What does that mean for us today? Well, Pentecost was simply, in the Old Testament, it was a feast. In fact, when we take a look at Israel, we take a look at the Old Testament, there were three major feasts that Israel celebrated as a nation. Three major feasts that they celebrated in which people would gather wherever they were. They would come, and most of the time they gathered at Jerusalem or other cities, and it was there that they would celebrate these feast days, and they were days to remember certain things that God had done in their history or for them. And we see that laid out in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. You see that in the Old Testament. These are celebrated feast days. Well, let's talk about these three major feasts today. First, we're going to look at Passover. That was the first feast, Passover. In Exodus, Passover occurred when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. It was following the last plague in which the angel of death was going to come and take the firstborn of everyone who did not have the blood of a lamb over their doorpost. And Moses had encouraged the people to take a lamb and to kill that lamb. And they were to eat that lamb along with unleavened bread. And they were to take that pure and spotless lamb. And if they were a small family, gather their neighbors together. And they were to take the blood and put it over the doorpost. Well, what does Passover remind us of? Somebody help me out. When Jesus came, right? The lamb. Worthy is the lamb. We sang that for a reason. Jesus was the Passover lamb that saves us from the angel of death, right? Because the wages of sin is death, and we're all deserving of that. But Jesus came, so to remember that the angel of death had passed over, they would celebrate this annual feast and come together where they would be reminded of what had happened when God delivered them out of Egypt. And that Old Testament feast was then fulfilled in the New Testament when Jesus came. That's Passover. And within Passover, you have three different feasts. You have Passover, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Feast of First Fruits. Well, the second of these major feasts that was celebrated is called Pentecost. And Pentecost occurred 50 days after Passover, and it was celebrated when God gave Israel the law on Mount Sinai. So following Passover, 50 days later, where do the Israelites end up from the book of Exodus? They end up at the base of Mount Sinai, where they meet with God, and it's there that God gives them the law. It's also called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. And this feast, again, celebrates the giving of the law. Now, how do we come up with the word Pentecost? Well, the first part of that, Pente, means 50. How many have heard of the Pentagon? Pentagon, penny, 50, gone, sides. Five sides, the Pentagon. So Pentecost, what's coste? Coste is times 10. 50, or 10, 5 to the 10th power is what? 50. The word Pentecost is not something to be afraid of. It's simply a word that means 50. 50 what? 50 days after Passover, they were to celebrate this particular day. Now, I want to share with you something really, really cool. And this might be something I just find that, how many know God is sovereign? And he always is lining things up. This is really cool. So 50 days after Passover. So if you're thinking about that with Passover, you're thinking about in the New Testament, 50 days after Passover. You say, wait a minute, Jesus died on Passover, right? He died on Passover, but then there was the Sabbath, and then there was the day he resurrected, and then 50 days after that was Pentecost in the New Testament. How do we get to that? How does that line up? Well, God already arranged all of that. In Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, and you can find these in the app notes, by the way. They're on our Church Center app. There are sermon notes in the more section, and you can click on those and have these Acts, or Leviticus 23, 15 and 16, all the way back in the book of Leviticus, when God is then working with Moses, this is what he says: you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. So what happens here, you say, wait a minute, grain offering. Remember, I told you it was the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. So we're talking about the grain offering that's here. And what happened in the book of Leviticus, when God gave instructions to Moses, he said, you will celebrate this feast not simply 50 days after Passover, but rather 7 Sabbaths, which are 7 weeks, and you will start after the Sabbath. So Passover, then the Sabbath, and then the day after the Sabbath, you'll count 50 days. Well, what happened in the New Testament the day after the Sabbath? Jesus what? Somebody yell it out. Jesus rose again, the resurrection. And then 50 days after the resurrection, what do we have in the New Testament? What happened? The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. So is that just coincidence? Is that just a coinkydink, as some people call it? No. Why? Because God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. God has the timing all lined up. Come on, you can't make this stuff up, right? You can't make it up. God had the entire timing planned out. So while the Old Testament Pentecost signifies the giving of the law, what does the New Testament signify? It signifies the giving of the Spirit. The giving of the Spirit. Now, let me show you why that is so important as we look at Pentecost in the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at Pentecost in the New Testament. So let's take a look at this. Now, again, the three Old Testament feasts, I need to back up one moment, I'm sorry, before I get to that. The third feast was Tabernacles. I apologize. So we had Passover, Pentecost. The third major feast was Tabernacles, and it includes the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Day of Atonement, as well as the Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths. To remember Israel when they came out of Egypt, they wandered around, they gathered, and they had tents that they gathered around travel while they waited for God to be able to bring them into the promised land. Can I tell you that this feast has yet to be celebrated? That's going to be celebrated in the last days when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we who remain shall be what? Caught up to meet the Lord where? In the air. Does anybody know what that's called? The rapture. Thank you so much. I'm so glad everybody's, come on. you got to be with me today. I need to keep you with me today. That's tabernacles, all right? But I want to focus on Pentecost this morning. I want to focus on Pentecost this morning. What does Pentecost mean? Well, again, it occurred 50 days after the Passover. Moses led the Israelites to Mount Sinai, where they made a covenant, where God made a covenant with his people, and he gave them the law. Let's read about it. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We're going to look at the first Pentecost. The first Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover, this was the first Pentecost. And let's take a look at what happened during the first Pentecost. Exodus chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in a thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So let's talk about what happened here. What's happening in this first Pentecost? Well, first, there's loud noises. There's thunder, right? There's a trumpet blast. The mountain is trembling like an earthquake. How many know you can hear those kinds of things? It caused the people to tremble. So there was loud noises. There was supernatural appearances, lightning and smoke and fire. One person encountered the presence of God. Who encountered the presence of God? Who was invited to go up? Moses. One person encountered the presence of God, and the people of Israel were established as God's people. That's when they made a covenant, and God said, "This is my people." He had made a promise, a covenant promise to Abraham, and had promised that, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. But it was there at the mountain that God had made a covenant with his people through the giving of the law, and they became God's people. Now, something else happened, but I'm going to share that in just a little bit. So just put a pin in it, okay? Put a pin in it. Have you heard that before? All right, hang on right there. This is going to be a lot of teaching this morning, so you're going to need to stay with me. If your neighbor falls asleep, elbow them and say, "This is really important. Wake up." All right, pastor's not that boring. Wake up. It's okay. All right, here it is. Let's switch. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's switch for a moment. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at the Pentecost that happened in the New Testament. We read it earlier. I'm going to read it again. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like a blowing and violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So let's take a look at what happened. What happened? Loud noises, right? A sound like a blowing violent wind. There were loud noises on that day of Pentecost. There were supernatural appearances, right? Tongues that divided and separated and came on each of them. There were supernatural appearances that had happened. How many received the presence of God that day? All. All. And what happened that day? The church was established as the people of God. The church was established as the people of God. That was the birth of what we have today, or what we know today as the New Testament Big C Church. Those that were gathering around said, "This is strange," there on that day of Pentecost. Weird things are happening, right? So if you think Pentecost is weird, you're not alone. There were people in there, right there on the day of Pentecost, that were like, "Man, something strange is happening. What's happening?" And Peter stands up and he connects it to a prophecy from the book of Joel in the Old Testament, Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, and then we'll skip to verse 21. This is what Peter said. He said this: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And everyone," verse 21, "who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter connects it, right? And then he begins to connect it to Jesus. And by the time Peter gets to the end of his sermon, somebody tell me what happened on that day. 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved. Right? Now hold that thought for a moment. God established a church. 3,000 people got saved. Now let's go back to Pentecost of the Old Testament for a moment. We're going back. While Moses was on the mountain with God, God was giving the law. God was giving the law for his people. Right? Moses went up, called Moses up. Moses is up there. God's given the law to Moses. Now, how many remember they grew a little bit impatient, didn't they? Remember that? We don't know what happened to that Moses guy. What are we going to do? And of course, you know, Aaron being brilliant as he is, he's the high priest at the time. He says, give me the gold and the earrings and different things that you got when you left Egypt that they gave you. Give them to me. And what did he do? He made a golden calf, right? And they began to dance around. You know that they already, even within the first 40 days, Moses up on the mountain, even in that first 40 days, they grew impatient. And in 40 days, he gave them the law. They knew what the law was. But in 40 days, they already broke the first and second commandment. The first and second commandment, they already broke. And as a result of that, Moses comes down and God speaks. And this is what God says in Exodus 32, verse 27 through 28. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man must strap a sword to his side. This is what he called the Levites. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 people died. God's judgment, because they broke the law. So on the first Pentecost, they celebrated God giving the law, but on that day they were unable to keep the law, and as a result of unable to keep the law, God's judgment came, and as a result of that, 3,000 people died. But go back to the Pentecost in the New Testament. Jesus gives his life at Passover, right? He redeems his people and gives his life, and then the Holy Spirit is poured out, and rather than 3,000 people dying, God writes his law on the heart of his people as he prophesied in the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Ezekiel. The law no longer external, but by the Spirit internal, written on the heart. And as a result of that, the law which brought death in the New Testament Pentecost, that law brings life as 3,000 people are saved in one day. Come on, somebody. Why do we celebrate Pentecost? Because Pentecost is all about God giving us his Spirit so that we are able to do what we cannot do without the Spirit of God. And that is begin to obey the law and give the life and the life that the Spirit brings. Woo! Somebody say, good preaching, Pastor. Come on. Come on. Pentecost, Old Testament. Pentecost, New Testament. Well, what about today? Is there Pentecost today? Would you say that what happened at Passover and then fulfilled in Jesus applies to us today? So then would we say that the Feast of Tabernacles, as we look ahead to the coming and return of the Lord, that applies to us today? Okay. So guess what? Pentecost applies to us today. It applies to us today. What's the outpouring of God's Spirit look like? Right? What does Pentecost mean for us today? And my goodness, we have to answer that really strange question. What about that thing called tongues? I know, I got really quiet when I said that. There were a few people. Everybody else was like, oh, no, here we go. Does he really have to talk about that? Well, you're in a Pentecostal church this morning. So we're going to talk about Pentecost today and the implications of that. We're going to compare it to the Old Testament and New Testament. And we're going to take a look at us today. Author Tim Enlow helps me here, providing an outline that I just could not get away from that I think is really helpful for us. Some general conditions for Spirit empowering. We're going to look at Spirit empowering in the Old Testament, Spirit empowering in the New Testament. And what does that mean for us today? Number one, the Holy Spirit's empowering was for special leaders only in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the general implication was that God's Spirit was working and God empowered people. His Spirit came upon people. We see it throughout the Old Testament. But again, it came upon individuals. We saw it already when we were looking at Exodus, and we said how many people on that day of Pentecost encountered the presence of God and were invited up. It was Moses. It was one. God had put his Spirit on Moses. God did that with others who served as prophets and priests and elders and judges and kings. There were about 100 people throughout the Old Testament where it says that the Spirit of God had come upon them. The Spirit of God came upon them and they were endued with supernatural ability. Not natural, but supernatural ability or empowering as a result of the Holy Spirit coming upon. That's what we see in the Old Testament. Individuals. Again, Moses encountered God. He encountered God first where? In the wilderness, right? By a burning bush, right? He's walking by, supernatural is something happening, some kind of supernatural appearance is happening, fire associated, what is that? Moses, don't go any closer, take off your sandals, what? For where you're about to stand is what? Holy ground, right? God encountered, and Moses says, I can't talk, and God says, I'm going to give you the ability to talk. I'm going to give you an ability to be able to speak. We're going to get into that in just a moment. And there he was approached by God. Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Moses is a little bit overwhelmed. He's leading the people of Israel. And they're doing a lot of complaining. And they're doing a lot of questioning. Moses, why are you leading us in this direction? Moses, I don't think we're going in the right way. Moses, God, we're thirsty. We're hungry. We don't have enough food. We're just out here in this wilderness. He's to bring us out in this wilderness to die. And Moses is like, God, I can't do it anymore. Just kill me. Seriously, if you've ever been in leadership, you can identify with Moses, right? What does God do? God reveals an answer. And he says, listen, Moses, I'm going to take some of the spirit that's on you, and we're going to put it on some other leaders. Let's read about it. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come up to the tent of meeting. They may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. I'll take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and I'm going to put it on them. And they will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a good thing, right? God's not empowering, not putting his Spirit on everybody in Israel. But he says, Moses, I'm going to take that Spirit that's on you, and we're going to put it on 70 of the elders, and we're going to empower them so that they can share the burden with you. And again, this is exactly what happened. The elders gathered together, and God poured out his Spirit upon them. Verse 25, then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him, and he put it on the 70 elders, and when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. When the Spirit came on them, what happened? They prophesied. Okay, good. I'm glad somebody is still awake. What's wild is that there were two leaders who were like many of you in church. They didn't show up on time. They were late to church. For some reason, the kids just weren't ready to go. Or there was one more thing they forgot, or I don't know what happened, but for whatever reason, they didn't show up and they weren't there. But guess what? God's Spirit came upon them. And as a result of that, they too began to prophesy. And in verse 27, it says, a young man ran and told Moses, we think it was Joshua, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And what I'm not reading is the next verse. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go out there and take care of them? And this is Moses' response. He says this, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. That all the Lord's people were prophets and that God would put his Spirit on them. You see, Old Testament, the Spirit empowerment was limited to a few leaders, prophets and priests and kings. But in the New Testament, God's Spirit was poured out on all who were present in the upper room. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In the Old Testament, it was just specifically for leaders only. Second general implication, condition for Spirit empowering, is that there's a two-stage pattern for Spirit empowering. Again, in Numbers chapter 11, we see it, that when the Spirit came and rested on them, that was what happened. The Spirit came upon, and then what happened next is they prophesied. The Spirit came upon, and they prophesied. That is Spirit-guided words confirming their experience. When King Saul was anointed by Samuel, he was just a donkey farmer. He was out looking for donkeys that had gotten lost, and his father sent him out. And when he encountered Samuel, the Lord said, "This is the one that is being chosen as king." And when he was anointed with the oil by Samuel, it says this, that the Spirit came upon him. And when he arrived, he and his servant at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their what? Prophesying. We see this as a regular pattern, is that the Spirit comes upon and the confirming word is Spirit-guided language or communication. They began to prophesy. We see it in Isaiah. We see it in Jeremiah. We see it when God appeared and came upon Ezekiel, that he put words in his mouth to be able to speak. We see it in Daniel. Spirit of God empowered the Spirit-directed words. Number three, the Holy Spirit's empowering was to primarily benefit the Jewish people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was not the nations. It was primarily the Jewish people. Now, God oftentimes worked in the nations, and we see that. But his primary focus was the Jewish people. And prophecy was the confirming sign because, again, at that point in time, the people of Israel all spoke one language, Hebrew. In the New Testament, it's post-exile. It's the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that included the nations, and the sign that follows Spirit upon in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, is tongues. Let's just look at that for a moment. While Pentecost, speaking in tongues, can be confusing and scary, there's something that's connected in the Old Testament that happened. Remember, Pentecost was a feast. Remember that. We talked about that. Where people all around Israel gathered in Jerusalem for the feast to celebrate Pentecost. But post-New Testament, something had happened in the Old Testament. Does anybody remember what happened? God's people had disobeyed him over the years. They had disobeyed him, and as a result of that, they were taken into exile. Other nations had come in and taken them captive. Primarily when it came to Jerusalem and Judah, the Babylonians, I don't remember a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, right? He had come in and they were exiled. And then following Babylon was the Medo-Persian Empire and then the Greeks. And even though they came back, there were some that never returned back to Jerusalem, and they were always occupied by other nations to the time of Jesus with the Romans that had happened. So what happened at Pentecost in the New Testament? There was a gathering of people there to celebrate the feast from many nations under heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together. What sound did they hear? They heard these Galileans who had waited and prayed for 120 days. The Spirit had come upon. Here they are speaking in these other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Aren't all of these speaking Galileans?" In other words, these are uneducated people out from the countryside. In Israel, these would have been the hicks. Can I say that in here? Is that okay to say? You know what I'm saying? They were the country. How'd they learn these languages? They're not the educated. They aren't the ones. How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Supernaturally, the message of the gospel, being heard against different languages. The word tongues, don't be afraid of it. It's glossolalia, which comes from the Greek word from which we get our term glossary from, and it simply means language. And in the Old Testament book of Genesis, you might remember that up until Genesis chapter 11, everybody spoke one language, right? But they were wicked. They were unredeemed. And they said, well, we can do anything we want, and we can build a tower, and we can make our way to God. We don't have to be separated from Him. We can make our way to God, so let's build a tower into the heavenlies. How many of you know unredeemed people trying to build their own way to God will never be able to reach God? You can't do it. And as a result of that, what happened on that day? Well, the Lord said, behold, they're one people, they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. So in the Old Testament in Babylon, God confused the language. And there were multiple languages. But on the day of Pentecost, God did something absolutely amazing. And what did He do? Because Jesus Christ had been redeemed and His people being redeemed, when He poured out His Spirit, He said, I'm going to begin to reverse what I did at Babylon. And I'm going to come together so that everyone, every nation, every ethnic group can hear the gospel in His own language. God united the gospel in His own language. The promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, again, unlike the Old Testament, just where it's empowering just for selective leaders, just a few leaders here, was for all people. And the redemptive work of Jesus made the fulfillment of the prophecy that Moses had spoken. I wish all the Lord's people would experience this, the Spirit coming upon them and prophesy. I wish all the Lord's people would do that. And God, His prophecy in the book of Joel that said, listen, your sons and your daughters, your old men and your young men, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. No longer is my Spirit just going to be poured out upon a select few, upon a select positional group, leaders and those who are higher up. But no, your servants. Not just your leaders, but I'm going to pour out my Spirit on your servants. And not just your men, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on your young ladies and your women. And not just those that are old, but those that are young. I'm not going to differentiate, because I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. No matter your socioeconomic standing. And this promise is for everyone. Acts 2:39, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, all whom the Lord our God will call. Listen, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have been saved, Pentecost today is for you. Today the Lord wants to pour out His Spirit upon you. Today the Lord wants to fill you with the Spirit. Today Pentecost is not just something in the Old Testament, and it's not just something that ended in the book of Acts. It is something that for us as believers today, as God pours out His Spirit upon us to be able to empower us and to be able to guide our tongues and our language so that we might glorify God and that we might proclaim and be His witnesses unto Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. See, I don't like that tongues thing. Well, it's a very consistent sign. In the New Testament, prophecy was a consistent time. The Spirit come upon, they would prophesy. Let me tell you something. In the New Testament, a very consistent sign. Acts 2:4, we read it. It was a confirming sign. If you read Acts chapter 10, I don't have time today because I want to have time to pray. But there was a Roman centurion in his household that Peter showed up. And the confirming sign that Peter knew that God's hand was upon them and that the Spirit had come upon them is because they began to speak in other tongues. And Peter even declares it in Acts chapter 11 and says, when he has to give an account, listen, the Spirit came on them just like it came on us. Well, how did it come on them? It came upon and they began to speak in other tongues. In Acts chapter 10, that's what happened to a Roman centurion and his entire household. In Acts chapter 19, Paul approaches a group of people who say that they're believers in Ephesus, and he says, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Well, if we say, well, when we believe, we receive the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. But the baptism and the Holy Spirit we see throughout New Testament is a separate work of grace. It is a separate work received by faith, just like salvation is a separate work of grace. So he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? We saw with Philip in Samaria, when Philip went to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. They were baptized. They came to know Christ. They were baptized in water, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit yet. So what happened? Peter and John went, laid their hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, that's what Paul said. And they said, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. He's like, oh my goodness. These folks need discipled. They don't understand. And then you might be that today. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What is this? Listen, you're not, it's okay. It's okay. But Paul then, he begins to tell them and begins to show them. And they too put their faith in Jesus. Then he lays their hands on them. And when they received the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. Friends, let me tell you something. That's the pattern that we see. It's not strange. We see it outlined in the Old Testament. We see it fulfilled in the promises in the New Testament. And today, you can receive the Holy Spirit today. It's something that we all can receive by faith. Come on, worship team, will you come back up? Today, I want to invite you this morning to receive the empowering baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is for each of us. God desires to fill each of us with the Holy Spirit. We saw Pentecost in the Old Testament was simply the giving of the law, but the giving of the law was something that we celebrate, but it brought death. But in the New Testament, Pentecost is the giving of the Spirit, which brings life. It is the empowering of God's Spirit for us. And if we will ask by faith, we can receive. So today, I want to invite you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because Pentecost is for each of us, and God desires to fill us if we will respond by faith. If we will respond by faith. Can we stand? Can we stand all across this place? If you're able to, will you stand with me right now? Holy Spirit. Come on, let's just welcome the Holy Spirit right now in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in this place. If you're any of my pastors, if you're any of my altar workers today, will you come and just get ready? My pastors, altar workers, any of those that pray, will you come and pray? This morning, I want to invite you on this Pentecost Sunday. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, if you walk that out by faith, then today I want to also, if you have not received, or maybe it's been a long time, and you say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to fill me again. I need to be refilled with the Spirit. I want to invite you to come and let us pray with you that you might receive the Holy Spirit today. That you might receive the Holy Spirit today. If that's you and you want to receive the Holy Spirit, will you step out of your seat today? And could we just take some time this morning just to pray? We want to pray with you. Will you step out of your seat? Will you be brave and come and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We want to experience Pentecost today. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would just flow today, the outpouring of your Spirit in this place. Will you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit today? Will you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit today?
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.